Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name is Nate Grudniblink, and I will be your host. I've also got my guy Blake here with me. Blake, how are we feeling?
I'm feeling very good, man. I'm excited to talk some hockey with you. How's your week been?
My week's been pretty good. It got a little bit better here when I noticed that my Tarasov stream paid off against you in the Apples and Genos Patron League here.
Oh, shit. Right off the bat, this is not... This is, I'm just blindsided here. I thought this was a safe place, but apparently not. And that's fine. That's totally fine.
Yeah. So, Blake has been ahead of me. Blake, you're actually first in the league at this point. It is pretty tight. I think like 1 through 6, there's like 5 points. It's a Cats league. So everybody's pretty tight early in the season here, but, you are first in the league right now. And so I knew I'd, have my hands full here. I felt like I had you pretty much all week in the points kind of categories, goals, assists.
Yeah, something happened there.
I felt like I was doing pretty good there, and then I took hits from you as well, but it looks like you got some power play points here today, and that is going to swing that one for you. Shots on goal, you pulled ahead of me, I think, on like Thursday and never looked back, and then blocks, you've just been crushing me with your defenseman that you got this week. But then the goalies have kind of been the deciding. So in our the Apples and Genos Patron League, we go wins, saves, and save percentage. And you've been after it all week. You got a 938 save percentage, 165 saves and 3 wins, which is a pretty good week, all things told. And so I had an extra ad saved up for today. I actually streamed Soderblom earlier in the week just to get the volume. I streamed Korpisalo and Soderblom this week as goalies just to try to catch up in goalie cats, and it worked. So now I'm going to take saves, and I'm just waiting on the result of Chicago versus Pittsburgh here. It started out Pittsburgh was up 3-0. Now we're down to 3-2. If Chicago completes this comeback, then I'm going to take this matchup from you.
Yeah. First off, I don't like how surprised you sounded when you said I was in first place. That was a little hurtful. Okay. And that's fine. You know, I knew this week. Yeah. You had me all week. Something happened there. Yeah. I just started taking some of the periffs away. And then obviously the goalies. I think this is a classic matchup of all G versus zero G.
Yeah.
And we're probably going to tie. Hopefully it's this. Who the hell, who is Soderblom, for God's sake? Who is this man? Why are you in the net? All right. Is he related to Elmer Fudd Soderblom?
I don't know. That's,
is there more than one Soderblom in the world?
I guess there is. Yeah. And they're all hockey players too.
Yeah. He's effing up my league here. I don't need that. All right. But that's fine.
All right. Well, by now, everybody listening knows the drill. We're here tonight to look at some players who've been performing well and some who've been performing pretty poorly and just try to make sense of their performance thus far. Let's not waste any more time. Let's get into it. First up, we got Sam Bennett. Sam Bennett, who we've been talking about for a minute here, about how he was performing so terribly, but all the underlying stats were saying that it was going to turn around. Well, things turned around, and not counting the game tonight, in his last 5 games played, he had 3 goals and 9 points. So, yeah, things turned around in a big way for Sam Bennett. In those 5 games, 23rd in shots per 60, 14th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, and rocking a 16 minutes and 40 seconds average time on ice. The on-ice numbers, a little bit more average, I guess you could say. 98th in on-ice Corsi 4 per 60 and 38th in scoring chances 4 per 60. In the last game, he was playing with Tkachuk and Luostarinen, and I did see that's how they started out tonight at least. I'll double-check that now while we're talking about it. Looks like that stuck for pretty much the whole game here. Looks like they might have switched out Luostarinen, but it was Bennett and Tkachuk, and that's what you want to see. On the season now, Bennett is sporting an 88% IPP, 7.9% shooting percentage, and 7.1% on ice shooting percentage. To me, that still feels a little bit low on the season. So even though the IPP is high, it just shows that he's really kind of controlling the play. For his line, the on-ice shooting percentage and his own individual shooting percentage being pretty low shows that there should be some more goals that should have been going in all this time. And now they're starting to go for him. So are we all aboard the Bennett train from this point on, Blake? We have any reservations?
Reservations? Oh, I got plenty. All right. And I like to call him Sam Bennett Dyson, like from Terminator. It was Miles Bennett Dyson. But anyways, I feel like he's the only Panther that's actually doing anything like consistently right now, which I was not expecting. Because, pretty much the whole roster seems to be underachieving to some degree. So yeah, I mean, I like to see this happen for Bennett. I wish it was happening for Reinhardt, honestly, because I've got him in a lot of spots.
You got more Reinhardt.
But yeah, I do. Yeah. And yeah, but Bennett seems to be the one that's kind of, you know, pulling through here. So yeah, I love hearing kind of the stats that you bring to the table here. And then sort of explaining them, because it just kind of puts things into perspective. And obviously playing with, you know, Tkachuk is, you know, going to do wonders for your game, most likely, right? They're starting to get used to each other. But yeah, I mean, I didn't watch the game tonight. He had, you know, what was his ice? His role seems reasonably stable to me. And if he's getting that kind of deployment with Tkachuk, and then, I mean, what was his power play tonight? Was he, I think he was power play one, or he got some looks on
play for most of the year. And tonight.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just on frozen tools. Yeah, looks second, like he was okay.
Second power play again. Yep.
All right. I mean, yeah, you roll with him, obviously. I mean, I don't know. What do you think? What do you think of Bennett and his kind of outlook? Like, what did you project him for? Do you remember?
I had him projected pretty highly. I believe it was 60-ish points, which I don't think many people had him for. I think the thing with Bennett Wright is you're always a little bit worried about the deployment. Like, does Lindell take the second line away from him and he goes down to the third line where you're playing with guys like, yeah, like Nick Cousins and Colin White all of a sudden instead of Matthew Tkachuk or Sam Reinhardt or someone like that? It's obviously a pretty big drop-off in talent between some of these players. It seems like Verhaeghe is stapled to Barkov, so that's never you're never going to get Verhaeghe on Bennett's wing, so you're really just hoping for Reinhardt or Tkachuk. And Reinhardt and Bennett haven't really seemed to ever click together in their time together. In Florida, so you're kind of hoping for Tkachuk to stick around on that whatever you would call it, second line, I guess. And then, yeah, I don't really see a strong case for him ever really cracking that top power play unit. So yeah, you do end up with a little bit of capped upside on that front. Right now, they've been running with Montour and Ekblad 2D on that top power play, and Montour's just been playing lights out. So until that changes,
he's been awesome. Yeah.
Until that changes, you don't see Bennett getting in there. So you are just kind of relying on the fact that Bennett is kind of an underlying stat monster, where he's putting up tons of shots, he's putting up tons of hits, generates the individual scoring chances among the top in the league last year and this year so far in that category, which is one of the primary things I look for, because it's one of the most repeatable things and things you can kind of bank on for production in my mind. But definitely if he doesn't have players to play with, that obviously takes away from the ceiling. So I think there will be stretches throughout the season with Bennett where you're like, man, I just wish he gets a little bit better deployment, and then it'll all work out. If he gets that to Chuck or that Reinhardt on his line, then everything will look a little rosier. But yeah, there'll definitely be other weeks like this where he's blowing up for 9 points in 5 games, and you're like, man, this is what I held Bennett for all this time. So I think this is kind of just what you're signing up for with Bennett, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure. And I like your projection. I think that's totally reasonable. I think you can kind of expect that, you know, even just his basic stats, like, you know, his shooting percentage is a little bit lower than it was last year. So you could probably expect that to come up a little bit. He's shooting a little bit more than he did last year. He's hitting like crazy this year. And he's got more power play time on ice and increased ice time as well. So there are a lot of things that are boding well, but it's very much the story of the Panthers season so far, is like they're just not putting the puck in the net. You know, they're doing everything else, right? So yeah. I like Bennett. I still like a lot of the Panthers players. I think there's a lot of room to grow there. And Bennett right now is the one kind of doing the growing first. So, yeah. Pick him up. He should be rostered anyway. But if he's not, you better get him.
All right, let's keep rolling. Yeah, let's keep rolling with Mikhail Sergachev. 2 goals, 8 points in his last 5 games played. And we'll kind of touch on the obvious corollary here, Victor Hedman, 0 points in the last 5 games. We'll start with Hedman, though. Obviously has taken over that top power play from Hedman in the last little while. Last 5 games, he's rocking 24 minutes, 43 seconds average time on ice. So big minutes for Sergachev. Among defensemen, his individual numbers don't really stand out. 98th in individual Corsi 4 per 60, 57th in individual scoring chances 4 per 60. It's more the on-ice numbers that really start to stand out. 35th in Corsi 4 per 60 and 10th in scoring chances 4 per 60. When you're 10th in scoring chances 4 per 60 and you're skating 24, nearly 25 minutes a night, then that's obviously a place you like to be as a defenseman. You'll walk into a bunch of points just by virtue of being on the ice when this stuff is happening. So really, it's just a case with Sergachev of how much do we believe it? How much do we believe that Hedman is going to be relegated to power play two all season long, and it's just Sergachev's world now, and we're just living in it. If you look at the season-long numbers, he's got a 75% IPP, which is through the roof for a defenseman. For like even elite defensemen, you rarely see stuff over 50%. Like top-end defensemen get over 50%, but 75% is just bananas. That's like top-end forward stuff. That's like Crosby, McDavid level stuff.
Crosby, well, McDavid, and then Sergachev. That's what we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, exactly. 12.9% shooting percentage, obviously also very high for a defenseman. You'd expect him to be more in probably like a 6 to 7% range, so almost half. 10.9% on-ice shooting percentage, that feels about right. So nothing, not much movement I'd expect from that point. So definitely Sergachev overperforming right now, but obviously, if he's going to stick on top power play in Tampa, then that's going to be a player that's going to be wildly valuable. So really, it's just a case of how much do you believe it? So what do you believe, Blake? Is Sergachev here to stay on the top power play in Tampa?
I am glad you asked. I am on record this year, my first year podcasting, saying that, yeah, Sergachev is going to be a nice sleeper pick, you know, and but I didn't expect this. You know, I can't sit here and be like, yep, this is what I thought. Him taking over the power play from Hedman is that's wild. And for this long too, you know, I know that's the story, but you can really trace it to where he's getting a lot of his points. Right. And, you know, like you said, I think it's going to slow down. Right. And at some point Hedman's going to get that spot back on the power play. For how long, I don't know, because Hedman himself has not been kind of up to snuff this season, not up to his standards anyway. He's still a beast, but offensively it's just hasn't been there. But I like Sergachev. He's always been a talented player, and he was one of these guys that was getting like 19 minutes a night, or sometimes even less. You know, like you can clearly see the offensive skill. He hits, he blocks, but he wasn't getting the deployment. And then all of a sudden, bang. Like, I remember there was a report at the beginning of the season, just from the coach saying like, yeah, we're going to use Sergachev more this year. He's going to have a much bigger role on the team. And I like that. I was like, he's going to have a bigger role on that team. Okay. Like, yep. You know, like you said, he's skating around 25 minutes, even, you know, in good situations with those type of players, like, yeah, the points are going to come, but I didn't expect this. No. So I think it should cool off, but I don't know. Is he a 60 pointer this year?
Yeah, if he stays on power play one, absolutely. I think he's a 60 pointer. That power play one alone should net him like 25-ish power play points as a season long pace. I think Hedman was up at like 35 last year. So even if you walk it back from that point, it's still a hefty number for Sergachev. So yeah, I don't think 60 points is out of the question as a pace from here on out for Sergachev if he maintains it. So yeah, like I'm saying, it really just depends on what you believe, I think, with Sergachev. For myself personally, yeah, I think I fall into a similar bucket. I think he's obviously performing right now. He's obviously overperforming right now. There will be a point at some point in the season. It could be next week. It could be 3 weeks from now. It could be 3 months from now. But at some point, he's going to go a little bit cold, and it's going to be really hard for them to look down the lineup and see Victor Hedman, probable Hall of Fame player, sitting there and not flip him back onto that top power play. So I think at some point Hedman does take it back, but really, I don't know, like at this point, are you making big moves based on what's happening right now? So for me, I've told some people, and some people have asked me, I've told people, you know, if you can get almost full price for Victor Hedman, then absolutely I would trade him, because you're just mitigating your risk that way, that Hedman doesn't get the power play back, right? So if you can get pretty much full price for Hedman on the trade market, then go ahead. I don't think you can at this point, but if you can, then sure. If not, then you're probably better off holding him and just, you know, hoping and praying that the power play comes back. And if you have Sergachev, I think you're pretty obviously just hanging on at this point. No one's going to give you Hedman-like prices for Sergachev, so you're just enjoying the ride at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm probably on the same boat there. You got to hold Hedman, unfortunately, and you probably spent some good draft capital on picking him up. So yeah, you got to ride it out, but I think that'll normalize. I still think Hedman's good for 50 points. I mean, we might not see, you know, we're probably not going to see what we've seen in the past with him. Yeah, but like you said, Sergachev is overperforming. I think that's a really good way of putting it, right? He's going to come back to the median, right? And I think things will even out a little bit. But I don't know. If he's on that top power play, Hedman's not looking that good. But yeah, he's a buy low too. I mean, put some offers out there for Hedman. People, like, I have Hedman in one league, and it's really pissing me off. And if someone like sent me a reasonable offer for Hedman, I'd probably just flip him, you know, and then hate myself later.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be a case where you could buy low on Hedman. I think I'd have to buy fairly low on Hedman. Like, rest of season, I'm probably projecting him at a 50-ish, 55-point pace at the absolute most.
Man, that's
because
rough.
You just can't count on the top power play coming back anytime soon. So I'm not going to pay on the hopes that he gets it back or that it happens sooner rather than later. That's just a way to torpedo your team, in my opinion. So
yep.
I'm not gonna go out of my way to overpay and then hope that it ends up being a big win. There's other places I feel like I can make trades where I'm more confident in the outcome. So I'm not trying to roll the dice that way, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I don't know what's wrong with me, man, but in these leagues, I just can't help myself with buy lows. I'm like, oh, that guy's sucking right now. I'm gonna pick him up. I'm gonna make offers, and then like. Now, I mean, my whole team was buy low anyway, and now I picked up even more buy lows. I'm just leaning in. So it's about to
pop
off.
That's how we do it.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, number three, Nick Suzuki, 3 goals, 8 points in his last 5 games played. He's rocking 22-plus minutes average time on ice, getting absolutely run out there in every single situation. Unfortunately, the rate stats do not look nearly as good for Suzuki. 347th in the league in the last 5 games in shots per 60, 345th in individual scoring chances 4 per 60, 140th in Corsi 4 per 60, so on ice, and 320th in on ice scoring chances 4 per 60. Obviously, he's line one, power play one, everything to Montreal. 70% IPP on the season, that seems pretty much sustainable to me. But what doesn't seem sustainable is the 27.5% shooting percentage and 16% on ice shooting percentage. The one thing that you think about with Suzuki, like, you might look at these numbers and be like, oh man, I got to get him off my roster immediately. but the other thing about Suzuki is he is getting 22 minutes a night. Is this a Matt Duchene situation from last year where he might just overperform all year long, along with Cole Caufield, as the only two Montreal Canadiens that are kind of worth a damn? And that's just kind of the story of the rest of the season. What do you think about Suzuki? Are you trying to move off him at this point?
Yeah, well, first, I love that comparison, Matt Duchene. That's bang on to me. Although this guy's younger with more, you know, a lot more upside, I think. But yeah, it was interesting to see those rate stats. I wasn't expecting that, because I did catch a little bit of that game yesterday where, yeah, they just amazing comeback, and him and Caufield they're just dynamite together. They look good, especially in the highlights, right? You're not, you know, you don't notice the rate stats when you're watching the highlights, yeah. Right? But yeah, that deployment's insane. 25 minutes. Holy shit. What the heck? Yeah, I'm definitely not moving off him. That's for sure. But the NHL this year has been so strange, man. Like, down is up, left is right. Like, what's going on? Like, why are teams like Montreal doing, or, you know, why is Vemelka in Arizona, like a viable option for a goalie? Like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, and I see Montreal a little bit in that bucket, like what they're accomplishing, and, you know, with the group that they have, even guys like Kirby Dach, is like, how is this happening? You know what I mean? Meanwhile, Hedman's just dinking around out there, like, but I love it. I love these two guys. What a nice future they have there. They just got to put some pieces around them and get the goaltending sorted out, obviously. But I like what's going on in Montreal and those two players in particular. But yeah, Suzuki's just been a beast. Yeah. No question.
I think it's an interesting point to think about Suzuki having upside at this point. To me, I don't honestly think he has a ton of upside beyond what he's shown. If you look at his rate stats through this is his fourth season now in the league, and they've been really consistent. So he had 7.3 shots per 60 his first season. That was actually his highest number. The next two seasons go 6.48, 6.64, and this season 6.44. So he's been really consistent in terms of rate stats, in terms of shots. The individual scoring chances for per 60, all, you know, in a 6.1 to 7.0 range throughout those four seasons, including this one. So again, very consistent. You go over to the on-ice numbers, again, very consistent. Like, his numbers this year versus last year are almost identical in terms of on-ice stats. The only difference between this year and last year, and even his ice time, in terms of all 18 games he's played this season, 20 minutes, 41 seconds average time on ice. Last year, 20 minutes, 30 seconds average time on ice. So not even that much different there in terms of the full season. The last five games, obviously, a little bit more. I don't know if that'll sustain from this point onward or not. You can make your guesses about that. But just everything actually screams that Suzuki is like this very level, consistent player, and he's kind of been the exact same player all through his career. It's just the amount of minutes he's been seeing has gone up, and then this year all of a sudden he's converting on way more and his line mates are converting on way more. So I do think that Caulfield's entering the picture gives him a huge bump. That's true. I believe that Caulfield is a goal scoring star in this league, absolutely. So I do think that that gives him a bump in terms of the on-ice shooting percentage, basically. So more goals will be scored when he's on the ice. He'll obviously get more points that way. He has a player to play with now. I even think that could help him with his own individual shooting percentage. He could have a higher shooting percentage. But his highest shooting percentage in his career to this point was 13.6%, and he's up at 27.5% right now. So even if I give him up to 15%, which I think is being pretty generous rest of season, that's still a decrease of almost half, right? So I'm of the mind that Suzuki is a big-time sell at this point, and that's what I'd be looking to do if I had Nick Suzuki on my rosters right now.
Bang. I'll be damned if you're going to talk some yang on Nick Suzuki, all right? This man's a legend, all right? No, all good points. What I mean by upside is just in his career. You know, he's only 23. Like, yeah, I'd rather have him than Matt Duchesne. Duchesne! Sure. Yeah. But, those are all really good points, and that's a good deep dive there. And that's why this guy's the master, all right?
You gotta listen to what he says. Let's keep it rolling. Right,
let's keep it rolling.
Cam Fowler. Gotta talk about Fowler. One goal, six points in the last five games. And really looking good even when you compare him across the league to other defensemen. 29th in individual Corsi 4 per 60, 49th in individual scoring chances 4 per 60. Flip over to the on-ice side, 54th in Corsi 4 per 60, 39th in scoring chances 4 per 60. He's doing that at over 26 minutes a night these last five games. Yeah. So multiply those by that massive time on ice. And now he's getting power play one over Klingberg. And honestly, I'm here for it. 54% IPP on the season, 2.9% shooting percentage. He'll be up around 6% when it's all said and done by the end of the year, I'm pretty confident. And just a 5.9% on-ice shooting percentage. Like, Anaheim is not a great team, but this on-ice shooting percentage number is going to come up to at least 8%, if not 9, 10%. So big upside in terms of the amount of goals that are going to be scored while Fowler's on the ice, especially now that he's getting that top power play, which the Ducks have been running into the ground, basically not even using a second power play unit the last few games. So I'm actually all about Cam Fowler. He's like 4% rostered in Yahoo right now. Absolutely should be rostered in pretty much every league right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, great points, and I love that you brought up Cam Fowler. This guy gets no love. I mean, you know, he's been a streamer basically for years, right? But he's a good streamer. I mean, he gets power play time. You know, even just looking at his stats, yeah, he's lower this year than he has been in the past, obviously because of Klingberg coming in. But yeah, now that he's taken that over and with the minutes, bang, this is a great pickup. And even further to that, this week, I mean, Anaheim has a pretty good schedule. I mean, a lot of the schedules are equal this week, but I picked up Fowler in one of my leagues. Yeah, and I feel good about it. Like you said, 4%. Like, this guy should definitely be rostered at the very least for this week. But I don't, you know, if he, like you said, if he's getting this power play one, like, we could have another season like last season, 42 points, maybe pushing 50. That's pretty nice for like a streamer level defenseman who's no one's rostering, right?
Yep.
Yeah. No, I love it. I'm into it as well.
All right, let's keep going. Another guy who's going to be widely available, Adam Ruziska. I don't even know how to say this guy's name. That's Ruziska. Nobody knows about him. But anyway, 4 goals, 7 points in his last 5 games played, averaging just under 15 minutes per night. 141st in shots per 60 through those 5 games, 50th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. It's the on-ice numbers that make you look twice, 28th in Corsi, 4 per 60, 44th in scoring chances, 4 per 60. Last game, he was on with Lindholm and Toffoli at even strength and getting power play to deployment as well. Obviously, he hasn't played a whole lot of games this season. It's really just been kind of like, get him out there and throw him right into the fire in the top six and let's see how he does. And he's been killing it. But obviously that comes with some high luck metrics, 80% IPP, 33% shooting percentage, 13.9% on ice shooting percentage. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing with this guy and how do you pronounce his last name?
I go like this, Adam. And then people are like, oh, you know that. Adam. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I like, these type of guys to me, they're like a flash in the pan, you know, like you're getting top line deployment and that's great if you can get him right at the time when he starts taking off. But I don't know. What do we see like with this guy moving forward? Like, I don't think he's going to keep up this pace and I'm not convinced that he's going to stay on that deployment. Right. What the hell are they doing to my man, Hubie? They're taking him off that line. I don't like that. Another buy low I picked up, randomly. Anyways, these are type of guys I avoid personally in my leagues because, I mean, unless I'm in a pinch, right? These are the guys that you just can't trust, right? We have to see it a little bit more. You know, I mean, he had, you know, this is probably, if he plays the full season, this will be his first full season. He only played 28 games last year in like a bottom six type role. And now he's getting some good deployment. He's making good on it. I don't know. We'll see what happens. A big difference too is power play time. He's getting on the power play, right? So clearly an offensive player. I mean, he's had, what are we looking at? Yeah, 3-point game and 2 2-point games to kind of bolster these stats, right? So that's great. But let's see him do it for another 10 games, you know, and then we're talking,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. I think those are fair points. Mostly agree with what you're saying. You know, this year in the AHL, he had 20 points in 16 games. So he does come with, you know, that kind of pedigree. He's only 23 years old. So it's not like he's just like an AHL all-star who got caught up and got hot. So there is some some thought that he could just be a little bit of a later bloomer than the average NHLer. And this is actually where we start to see the breakout come for him. That's a possibility. I am, more of the mind that you are, that this is most likely just a flash in the pan and he'll probably eventually go cold and get demoted down the lineup and we never hear of him again for the rest of the season. That being said, like, the individual scoring chances numbers are good. The on-ice numbers are obviously good, just kind of by virtue of playing on a good team on the top line with Lindholm and Toffoli there. So as long as that deployment keeps up, I'm willing to, you know, throw him in a stream. Like, Calgary's one of those teams that has that same kind of schedule that everybody else has. That's a good schedule this week. So for this week, sure. I'll take the shot and maybe he turns into something, maybe he doesn't, but it doesn't cost me anything for this week if the league's deep enough and there's not anybody better out there.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I also want to see a bit more ice time too. Like, again, these type of guys, like less than 15 minutes. It's, you know, why is he not being played more? If, you know, there's something about it. But yeah, this week for sure. We'll talk again on Sunday and be like, what's going on with Adam? Has he had a good week? Like, let's check it out, right? I'm interested to check in with this guy next week.
All right, let's keep rolling. Owen Tippett, who has 3 goals and 5 points in his last 5 games played, 19-18 average time on ice. And the individual numbers looking pretty solid here for Tippett, 28th in shots per 60 and 72nd in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. On ice number 67th in Corsi 4 per 60, 117th in scoring chances 4 per 60. He's on that, well, I would call it the top line at this point with Morgan Frost and Joel Farabee. I don't know if even the Flyers really think they have a top line at this point. He's on that line anyway with Frost and Farabee on power play. He's on what's definitely the top power play unit with Hayes, Frost, and Cates, and D'Angelo. So for the season, for the season, 77% IPP, 15.8% shooting percentage, 10.2% on ice shooting percentage. What do you think about Tippett? Is this another flash in the pan, or are we starting to see the breakout that we thought this guy could be? He was a high draft pick at one point in his career, so does have some pedigree that way. What are we doing with Tippett?
Yeah, absolutely. He's been on my radar for a couple years. I've streamed him in and out here and there, and it really hasn't come to fruition. But he might be in a good situation here with the Flyers because, yeah, they're pretty thin up front. They don't have a lot of options. And, yeah, his ice time is way up. I mean, looking at the game logs here, that game against Montreal, he played 21 minutes. Like, that's the big difference between a guy like Owen Tippett to me and Adam Rizimum. All right? Big difference. Like, look at the deployment. Like, so that, I know it's a simple stat, time on ice, but I really put a lot into it when I see a consistent pattern of deployment, right? And I think that just shows me that the coach has confidence in this guy. Even if he's not scoring, he's doing something well, right? He's doing what the coach asks, like, you know. So the fact that he's getting this kind of, like, his last 4 games, 20-51, 19-16, 18-43, 21-06, that's great deployment, right?
Yep.
And like you said, power play as well. So, I like it. This I'm more comfortable with Owen Tippett than I am with Ruzicka. Yeah, big time. So I want to see what he does.
Yep, I'm right there with you. Last 10 games averaging over 3 shots per game. So even when the time on ice wasn't quite there, he was still getting it done. This game against Montreal on Saturday night, he plays 21 minutes. He has 6 shots. He has 17 shot attempts. That's like Austin Matthews, Timo Meier kind of numbers. Yep. That's a pretty impressive night. Yep. Not many players ever have that kind of night. So definitely made me sit up and take notice a little bit more of Owen Tippett. Flyers again, one of these teams that has a solid schedule upcoming this week. So this week, throw him in there and see how it goes for this week and see if he really is something more. You get 4 games of him this week to give him that trial run, so you can make that happen for sure.
There you go.
Last guy on the list of performing well, that's going to be Juuso Parsonen, another guy who we hadn't heard of basically until this past week. 3 goals, 5 points in 4 games since being called up, averaging just over 16 minutes average time on ice. The underlying stats here, not so kind to Parsonen. 305th in shots per 60, 290th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, on ice numbers 322nd in Corsi 4 per 60, 308th in scoring chances 4 per 60, but he is playing line one and power play one with Forsberg and Granlund. What are you thinking about Parsonen right now? Are you willing to give him a shot, or are those underlying numbers too scary?
No, I'm not giving him a shot. Although Juuso Parsonen and UC Saros, that's kind of a nice little Juuso and UC there. But no, I mean, this guy's plan pretty much is like, hey, just give it to Forsberg. Can you do that? Like, just give it to Forsberg and let him do stuff. That's kind of what I'm seeing just reading those numbers. And honestly, I didn't see him play in the last few games. I'm happy for the production, but definitely to me, streamer level until we see more. It's always interesting to me, these guys that sort of come out of nowhere and they just get in really good deployment. Like, okay, go play with, you know, Forsberg and Granlund on the top line and top power play. Like, and Yossi's on the top. And like, what are we doing? That's, you know, I'm happy to see that. Obviously, this guy has some offensive acumen. Round 7. He was a round 7 draft pick. My goodness. Good for you, Juuso Parsonen. Again, another guy I check in with at the end of the week. Let's see what's going on. He's getting a ton of power play time. But yeah, those rate stats and the underlying numbers don't look too good. I like the time on ice again and the deployment. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, I've said before, I think when talking about Kirby Doc the other week that sometimes the points kind of give a boost to your underlying numbers. You score some
Yeah,
goals, you start to feel a
totally.
little bit more comfortable, and suddenly everything starts to flow from there. So I'm not ruling that out as a possibility, but obviously it is a pretty big red flag that the numbers are so bad. If they were just kind of average and he was outperforming, then that'd be one thing, but these are bad numbers. They are not even average numbers. So through 4 games, obviously it's early and obviously the production is nice. But I think I would go with both of the other guys we've mentioned so far above Parsonen at this point.
Absolutely. Did you ever see that episode of Fresh Prince where Will was on the basketball team and basically the coach in the huddle was like, just give it to Will. Just give it to Will. And Carlton didn't want to do it. But yeah, that's this Parsonen. Hey, Parsonen, give it to Forsberg. All right. Or give it to Josi, somebody. Like, let's see what's going on here.
Seems like a good strategy for him
Yes, well,
overall.
not this year, but that's fine.
All right, before we get into players performing poorly, I want to remind you, our listener, to make sure you check out the Apples and Genos Discord server. We have a growing community in there, over 500 like-minded fantasy managers. You can bounce ideas off them, get the latest news, content alerts. Also, if you're looking for help with your waiver wire pickups that we're talking about here, you can check out the Patreon. $5 a month gets you a weekly article and podcast detailing all of the best pickups for the upcoming week. I also throw in some long-term holds for you there as well. Both of these links are in the show description, so check that out if that's something that interests you. All right, performing poorly. We got to talk about these guys. We got to start with Matt Boldy. 0 points last 5 games. Last game, he was playing with Nick Petan and Frederic Gaudreau. I don't know about you, but that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence in
No.
me. He is still top power play for whatever that's worth in Minnesota. Minnesota is just scuffling right now pretty badly. 81st in shots per 60, 86th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. Not terrible numbers, but 264th in Corsi, 4 per 60, and 284th in scoring chances, 4 per 60. So it seems like whatever's happening on the ice, he's got to be the one to do it, or it's just not happening. 17 and a half minutes average time on ice here. What are we doing with Boldy? Do you have Boldy anywhere? Are you thinking about dropping him? Are you thinking about trading him? Anything there?
Yeah, it's funny. I don't. I stayed away from Boldy for some reason. I think because I never got to see him play last year when he was playing well, and I kind of go with what I'm comfortable with. So, and then I saw some. Boldy had a decent start to the year, I believe. And yeah, his ice times. So far it's decent. And yeah, he's playing top power play with Kaprizov. So yes, please. But I mean, he's a young player. He's kind of just struggling a little bit. I feel good so far. What I've seen from Boldy and that team, like again, they don't have a lot of like elite options. This guy Boldy, he's a high draft pick. He's young. He has chemistry with some of the players there. Like I would hold on Boldy for sure. I feel comfortable with that. Yeah, he's had 0 points in his last 5 games. That's not awesome, but yeah, I'd definitely. You probably drafted him fairly high. I mean, I don't know where was he being drafted. I don't even know. Probably. Top 100 or just outside.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'd have to go back and
So,
check, but yeah,
yeah.
he was definitely drafted with the intent of holding through the season for sure.
Yeah, so I think I would hold on Boldy. He's a young player. He's going through a bit of a funk here, but still 11 points in 18 games. It's not the worst thing in the world. And I mean, I'm not even, I don't have anything to back this up besides just watching him a little bit, right? But I think he's gonna bounce back. So I'd hold on Boldy, I think. But yeah, he's got to get some better deployment than that. Get off this line with these dinguses.
Yeah, I think there's definitely buy low opportunity here with Boldy. I don't know how high the ceiling is. That's what's really concerning me with Boldy right now, is because there's not really any room for him to be on that Kaprizov Zuccarello train. He's not gonna transform into a center, I don't think. I think they tried that for a little bit, if I'm not mistaken, at one point, but he's a winger. He's gonna be their second line winger, but really, who is he gonna play with is gonna be the problem. When he had Fiala there,
I
obviously that
know.
was magic between those two. But now that Fiala's gone, there's really no one even close to that caliber left in Minnesota. So that's the concerning part with Boldy. In terms of his talent as a player, absolutely, I believe it's still there. But yeah, I don't know. I probably can't stomach more than like a 55-point projection on him from this point onward. He's got to do it on the power play mostly to get what he needs to. Yeah, it's just really tough to project really high ceilings for Matt Boldy at this point.
Yeah, disappointing so far, for sure.
All right, another disappointing one. Gabriel Vilardi, who started out with his pants on fire and lately his pants have burned off. 0 points in his last five games, about 17 minutes average time on ice. He got bumped off line one on Saturday night. They have other options for power play one. 339th in shots per 60, 317th in individual scoring chances four per 60 through these last five games. The on-ice numbers, not much better. What are we doing with Gabriel Vilardi at this point?
Yeah, I think, I mean, at least I felt like it was always going to fall off, but I was there for it, right? Like I still have him in a couple spots, right? But you know, the party could be over, right? Like you lose that deployment. He's still a young guy. I don't know. Like you said, they just have so many better options on that team, right? And then you got guys like Kaliev, who has actually, like, I know you love Kaliev. I love Kaliev. I want to see more deployment there. And whenever he gets it, he does something with it, right? So, I don't know. Vilardi, I think you hold him till the wheels fall off, and then you can probably just drop him, right? But yeah, 0 points in the last six games. It doesn't look good. I mean, what are his what was the ice time in those games?
Last game
Just
was
pulling this up.
15 minutes, 17 minutes, almost 20 minutes in the game against Edmonton. So
Okay.
it's been all right. Trending downward the last three games, I guess you could say.
Yeah, that again, it's just that's always an indicator for me, at least how he is in the coach's eyes, right? And that's really the most important thing for deployment, right? Like,
For sure.
why does he have that little, like, sometimes there are extenuating circumstances, like a lot of power plays, a lot of, you know, penalty kills, whatever. But yeah, it's trending downwards. That means his plays, his confidence is probably trending downwards, right? So I think, yeah, you could probably move off Vilardi. And when I drop players too, I always like to think, like, if he gets good again, will he still be there if I drop him now, right? And I think Vilardi, if you dropped him, I don't think someone would be like, "Oh, bang! I got to go pick up Vilardi," right? They'd be like,
Right.
"Who's this slug?" Right,
Yeah.
and then he starts scoring again, and you pick him up again, you snatch him up quick, right?
Yep. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think Vilardi's probably a drop, to be honest. Six pointless games. I got bumped off mid-game off that line one. We'll see if that sustains for the next game, but I'm pretty worried even if he stays on that top line. Let's just get into it. We had Kopitar and Kempe lined up to talk about as well because they're both not doing well either. Kopitar 1 point in his last five games played. Kempitar,
Kempitar and
that's a new one.
Compey.
Yeah, Kempe also one goal and 2 points his last five games. Both of those playing way more minutes. Kempe in particular actually has some shots on goal in the last five games, so he's actually doing that. But neither of them, you know, getting many points, and the on-ice numbers are just terrible for this whole line. So I think that's really why this is going to get split up. Obviously, they're the top lines, so they're playing against good lines, and that could contribute to this number being low. But I do think that they're gonna have to do something about it to kind of turn things around. The second line, Arvidsson,
Yeah,
Moore,
they're
and
going.
Deneau, is going really well. So I don't
Yeah.
think it's kind of just like flipping between the first and third lines is what's gonna happen. And I think the most likely scenario is that Fiala comes back up, and it's Fiala, Kopitar, and Kempe. And I think that that's gonna be a big boost because Fiala just does it wherever he is. He's that good, in my opinion, that he's gonna put up those kind of rate stats and boost the whole line wherever he's at. So, yeah, I don't know if what you're doing, if you've got Kopitar or Kempe anywhere, if you're hanging on to them, trying to move off them, just praying that something changes in LA. But right now, it's not pretty.
It's hard to move off them, right? Because they're so low, right? Like, who are
Yeah.
you going to get that can do what those guys do when they're on their game, right? You can't. Kempe is funny. Someone dropped him in a league that I really care about, a good money league. So I snatched him up right away, thinking I'm, you know, all clever. And then, yeah, I snatched him up at the beginning of his three game, you know, pointless streak. So that hasn't been awesome. And I actually dropped Kopitar to pick him up
There you go.
because he was playing so stinky. So yeah, I've got some invested in here. Kempe, I feel good about Kempe. I feel like you said, they need Fiala back on that line. And you know, we all know Fiala historically has been a second half performer or slow starter, right? I don't know. I'm surprised they had him on the third line there, which was very strange when you bring a guy like that in, and just what he can do for his teammates, right? So I don't know. Kempe, I'm holding. Kopitar, you know, he's getting a little long in the tooth. He's still playing a ton of minutes, but why aren't the points there? You know, what's happening there, right? So it feels like it almost feels like a little Hedman situation, although Kopitar is still on the top line. So what has happened? What has changed that's now, you know, just those points aren't happening, right? So I don't know. Kempe, I like Kempe. Kopitar is 50-50 for me. I'm obviously watching Kopitar because he's first line, big minutes, first line power play. I drafted him for that. I had him last year too. I loved it. You know, he goes criminally underrated and underdrafted every year, but this might be the year where it's like, you know, yeah, he's starting to kind of feel his age, and it's, you know, maybe he's more of a 50-point player instead of a 70-point player, right?
Sure.
And that sucks.
Yeah. I had a big projection on Kopitar because I thought that he and Fiala would get on famously. Fiala kind of as a volume shooter, and Kopitar is more of a setup man at this point in his career. But obviously it hasn't worked out that way so far. Kopitar is legitimately not playing very well. I mean, the Kings in general outside of that second line are pretty bad right now. They're getting beat up on by a lot of teams that you would think are lesser teams. So, it's tough to say. I don't think that the Kings are this bad season long. Kopitar is probably on the line in some of the shallower leagues. Like if you're in a 10 team league, he's probably right on that drop line already. Velarde, like I said, is a drop for me. Kempe, I'm definitely hanging on to unless there's something amazing on the wire. I'm probably with Kopitar, I'm just going to hang on for a second, see if Fiala is coming up to that line, and then see how that goes. That's probably the play that I'd go with at this moment if I do have Kopitar somewhere.
Yeah, Kopitar is a tough drop. You probably shouldn't do that, but I did it. And I didn't look back. Yeah. So, and he still hasn't done anything. So I feel okay about myself, but yeah, I mean, like you said, I still think they can do it. You bring Fiala up. I had Fiala last year and the guy is unbelievable, especially in the second half. So if anything comparable to that happens, he's going to pull Kempe and Kopitar right along with him.
Yep. All right. We're going to get into a couple defensemen now. First one, Tony DeAngelo. Oh, I was waiting for you to do it. You didn't do it.
So I didn't want to interrupt you, but I'll say Tony DeAngelo. You got to say it like that. Tony, Nate, give me your best Tony DeAngelo.
Oh, I couldn't dream of doing it as well as you do.
That's fine. That's fine. It's my trade. I'll trademark it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get royalties every time someone says Tony DeAngelo.
1 point in his last five games played, 26 and a half minutes average time on ice. 43rd among defensemen in individual Corsi for, 53rd in individual scoring chances for, on the on-ice side, 63rd in Corsi for, 134th in scoring chances for per 60. 48% IPP, 8.1% shooting percentage, 8.9% on-ice shooting percentage. Are you worried about your guy at this point, or are you still riding with him?
I love it. Tony DeAngelo is my guy. This is a guy I called for as a bust this year. I was like, Tony DeAngelo, get the hell out of here. Get out of my sight. And then Torch is like, well, you know what? We're going to play this man 30 minutes a night. What the hell is going on? He's had two 31 minute games in the last three games. That's crazy. So I like it. This is a buy low. Tony DeAngelo is going to be fine, I think. I mean, yeah, the rate stats. Okay. Those are kind of stinky, but, I don't know, just the deployment, 30 minutes on ice. Actually, the rate stats are fine. What am I talking about? Tony DeAngelo, I got no issues here. Yeah, he's in a little bit of a funk here, but the Flyers are not good. They're overachieving, right? Carter Hart's been playing unreal, you know, and that's starting to fall off now. So, I still think Tony DeAngelo, 50-point defenseman, maybe more. And I don't know, like the periffs are even a little bit better. Like they don't have anyone else. Like Torts clearly hates Rasmus Ristolainen. He doesn't want him anywhere, you know, on the ice for some reason. So, but he likes Tony D. So I don't know. If I had Tony D, I wouldn't be too worried. If you drafted Tony D, I would have expected less than this so far. So even what he's achieved so far, I'm like, oh, this is nice. Yeah. He'll be fine. I don't know. What's your
take? Actually, I'm low-key into DeAngelo as a buy-low candidate as well. One of the more surprising stats I've come across just in my normal perusal of things is that at 5v5, the Flyers have the fourth highest Corsi 4 per 60 in the last 2 weeks over seven games played. They've only won one of those games, of those seven games, so it hasn't translated into W's for them.
Got to be
torts. Generating chances. So D'Angelo is obviously going to get in on his fair share of those, especially if he's playing these kind of ridiculous minutes. So yeah, I'm kind of into D'Angelo as a buy low candidate at this moment.
Yeah, absolutely. The Flyers, they seem to have some good chemistry. I saw some highlight of Konechny and Hayes and just them entering the zone, and it was just bing, 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 like in the net. It's like, what team is this? This is the Flyers. My God. Okay. Yeah. Not what I expected.
Yep. Yeah, they've actually been outperforming my expectations so far this year, and my main reason for being off D'Angelo was just that I thought the Flyers were going to be basically what Arizona was or is so far this year. So if the Flyers are going to be even like a middling team in terms of offensive output, then D'Angelo is going to be a big part of that, especially if he's getting these ridiculous minutes.
Tony D, MVP.
There you go. From Blake
Smith. That's a B. Is this a D? I don't know. I'm all backwards now. I don't know what's going on.
All right. The other defenseman we want to touch on is Chris Letang. Also just 1 point in his last five games. 23.5 minutes average time on ice. The underlying stats here are a little bit more comforting, though, with Letang. Individual Corsi 4 per 60, 17th in individual scoring chances 4 per 60, on ice side 22nd in Corsi 4 per 60, 34th in scoring chances 4 per 60. I did not check the game tonight to see if he got any points while I was writing these notes.
Oh, yeah. What is the score? We actually should probably check that.
Oh, yeah. We should check that for our matchup.
All right, I'll figure it out. You keep talking. All right.
But yeah, Letang, 43% IPP on the season, just a 2.7% shooting percentage, 9% on ice shooting percentage. Those numbers should come back up. Honestly, I pretty much have no worries with Letang overall. I do think that he's going to come back and be completely fine, if I'm being totally honest. I don't know. You know, it's an older player, and Pittsburgh hasn't looked, themselves to this point in the season. So he's definitely just kind of getting part of that trickle down effect, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not concerned about Letang in the slightest as a top end defenseman for the rest of the season.
Yeah, hell no. Yeah, I'm so with you. I've had a few questions on Letang actually, and I'm just like, he'll be fine. You know, I think one of the problems is expectations, right? 68 points in 78 games last year. That's the high end of what Letang can do, right? He's not gonna do that again, right? But he probably will get 55 points and get you some awesome periffs. Like he's already doing that, right? And like you said, the Penguins are underachieving right now anyway. So I think 60 points is probably still reasonable. You know, he's gonna have to have some good games here, but like you said, his deployment's solid. He's healthy. I mean, knock on wood, he's getting you the hits. He's getting you the blocks. He's on the power play. He's going to be fine. Right. 1 point in six games is not awesome, but he's a defenseman. He's not Connor McDavid. I mean, what do you want?
Yep. All right. Well, that's all we've got for this episode. Hopefully it brought you some value, helped you get a little bit better at fantasy hockey today. All the advanced stats you heard today came from Natural Stat Trick, which is a terrific free resource. You should check that out. Many thanks to the band there for supplying the music for this podcast. Be sure to check out their Spotify too. And that's going to be it, folks. Much love.
Thanks, everybody.